Today, the U.S. Supreme Court heard a case that could dramatically limit the power of tribal courts, and that could have far-reaching implications for tribes here in Washington State and around the country. Here's how it works right now. If you break a contract on tribal land, you could end up in tribal court, whether you're a member of that tribe or not. So this case could change that and a lot more. Robert Anderson told me about the case. He directs the Native American Law Center at the University of Washington.
This case involves a lawsuit by a tribal member out of the Mississippi Choctaw Reservation who sued Dolgan Corp, which operated a training program for young people in its Dollar General store. And one of the employees of that store molested the child. He and his parents brought a lawsuit against the employee and against the parent corporation in tribal court because the activity arose on tribal land on the reservation, and all the tribal courts and federal courts up to the Supreme Court have held that the tribe does have jurisdiction to hear this case. And this morning, the Supreme Court heard arguments about whether those lower courts were correct or not.
And it's not a criminal case.
It's a civil case. It's just a private party suing another private party in court for damages caused by wrongful conduct.
Okay, so if the U.S. Supreme Court, though, decided to rule against the Mississippi Choctaws in this case, what could that mean for tribes here in Washington State?
Well, tribal powers would be very limited, pretty much to their own members, and courts would not be able to handle disputes among members and non-members that were that arise on the reservation if this case is decided on really broad grounds. And tribes in Washington State have a lot of non-member visitors to their reservation, either that come to, say, Tulalip to gamble at the casino or go shopping in that outlet mall that they have there, or that are married to tribal members. If the Supreme Court were to adopt a blanket rule that tribes don't have civil jurisdiction over non-members, the ability to provide justice on Indian reservations by tribes would be severely limited because people would have to go to state or federal courts that in many cases might be far away and much busier and unable to handle these claims that arise under often unique facts on Indian reservations.
What's the case against tribes having that kind of jurisdiction?
Well, in a case out of Washington involving criminal jurisdiction, the Supreme Court ruled that tribes had lost all criminal jurisdiction over non-Indians on the reservations on the ground that those non-Indians couldn't vote in tribal elections, that they're not part of the tribal community in the same sense that tribal members are and are able to vote and participate in politics. Although if they're married into the tribe, they probably do participate. But the Supreme Court in a 1980 case ruled that tribes were not qualified under federal law, that Congress took away their jurisdiction at some indeterminate point in the past and lacked criminal jurisdiction. And it had to do, I think, more with the deprivation of liberty that comes in up in a criminal case than we see in these civil cases, which are largely, you know, disputes about contracts, torts, and, you know, housing and family law matters.
But there's still a separate set of rules governing tribal courts.
Right. Each tribe has its own laws, and that's what the Dolgan Corp is arguing, that while this tort law is unwritten in some cases, how would they know what the law is? It's unfair to subject somebody to the jurisdiction of a governmental entity when it doesn't know what all the laws are in any given case. But that's true of you know, every jurisdiction that has common law rules governing torts. So if you or I go to Idaho, we don't know the niceties of Idaho tort law, but if we commit some act over there, we're going to be subject to jurisdiction of the Idaho courts potentially for a tort claim.
And tribes in this case and the state of Washington have argued in favor of the Mississippi Choctaws. What's their main argument?
Well, Washington's argument is primarily that, look, it's well established under federal law that tribes have this sort of jurisdiction and that tribes in Washington state have sophisticated court systems and they have a mutually beneficial interest, that tribes handle some disputes, states handle other disputes. There are court rules in Washington that allow tribal judgments to be enforced through state courts. And so the tone of the brief is really that, you know, tribes and states have mutual respect for one another's jurisdictions, and the court should not take the the drastic step of depriving all tribes of jurisdiction, as Dolgencorp has asked for in this case.
So this is a huge case with big implications here for Washington State. How do you think the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, might rule?
Well, I think it's going to be 5-4, and I don't know which side is going to prevail. And the consensus seems to be that it's going to come down to Justice Roberts, who voted in favor of tribal sovereign immunity last term. It was kind of a surprise that he voted that way, but folks are hoping that he'll do the same thing in this particular case.
So, if the court does decide against the Mississippi Choctaws and against the tribes, what recourse would tribes have at that point?
Well, if the tribes lost on a broad ground, they'd have to go to Congress to have Congress restore inherent tribal power, which the Congress did 2 years ago in the amendments to the Violence Against Women Act. I mentioned earlier that tribes lack criminal jurisdiction. That's caused all sorts of problems in terms of protecting Native women and others from domestic violence on reservations. And so Congress in 2014 passed a statute that restored tribal criminal jurisdiction over non-Indians who commit crimes of domestic violence on Indian reservations. And that was a huge step, something I never thought would happen in my lifetime, but it shows that Congress is willing to exercise its power, and that would be what would have to happen again here if the tribes lost this case on sweeping grounds.
Robert Anderson directs the Native American Law Center at the University of Washington. And once again, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case today that could limit the power of tribal courts here in Washington and around the country. He says it's going to come down to Chief Justice Roberts.